Man, is this a beautiful day. Praise the Lord for today. Sure. Thank you, Brad. Yeah. A far cry from a few weeks ago, that's for sure. But glad to be here today. Glad to see all of you here today. Let's see, for the sake of the count, we got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 19, 20. Twenty-two cars. So we're down a little, but that's okay. Glad you guys are here. Glad to see all of you that may be online as well. And today we're going to kind of continue. I've been preaching kind of through the Psalms since all this started, trying to preach messages, basically just lifting up the Lord. And, you know, we're in the midst of all this stuff we're going through, and it's easy to get kind of distracted, focused on other things, and we need to always be focused on the Lord. And let's see if I can get myself arranged here. Okay, I know what I'm going to do. Here we go. That's better. All right, that works. And so last week we looked at Psalm 33, and we were challenged to look at ourselves and determine what we were putting first. Our faith, our trust in the Lord, or our faith and trust in government or doctors or experts or, you know, whatever the alternatives are. And of course, you know, we know that our faith is in the Lord. He's the one that we can count on. He's the one that never turns. He knows the truth. A lot of the stuff we get, is it truth? Sometimes I wonder. In fact, a lot of the time I wonder. But what we get from His Word and what we get from His Spirit is truth. And we can take a lot of comfort in that. And so in this week, in Psalm 34, this is a psalm that speaks of the Lord in terms of being our refuge, in terms of being our deliverer. And I'm going to parallel this with the story of Hannah. And so for those of you that know the story, this will be a little reminder. Some of you may not be familiar with the story of Hannah. And Hannah was a woman in the Old Testament. She was a wife of a man named Elkanah. And Elkanah had two wives. One was Hannah, and one was another woman named Peninnah. And Peninnah was having lots of kids, and Hannah was not. And Hannah was very distressed about this, and Peninnah would actually oppress her, in a sense, because it was a big deal. You need to understand, in Bible times, it's a big, big deal for a woman to have, especially sons, but to have children, because, you know, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't have income for anybody. When you got old, you were relying on your family. And if you didn't have family, you were in trouble. And so here's Hannah, a very faithful woman, a woman that believed in the living God. And we're going to look at her life a little bit, this little bit that we see and it's actually in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2, but we're not going to go there. I'm going to go through the Psalms, but I'm going to relate this account of Hannah because it goes right along with this psalm. And so here we have Psalm 34, and I'll read the first three verses. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt His name forever. You know, interesting in verse 1 there, I will praise the Lord at all times. You know, whether it's good times, the bad times, the in-between times, the fun times, the hard times, the sad times, the glad times. We praise the Lord because He's worthy of our praise. He did it all for us. And He is worthy. And it says His praise will always be on my lips. And I would like to say that's the truth with me, but you know what? It's not. There's a lot of times I say things, you know, my lips say things, and it's not praise to God. And it's really a convicting verse. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Then I will boast in the Lord. In other words, I'm going to give Him credit for what's going on in my life, for the victories and all the things that I've learned and how He's grown me as a person and as a Christian and as His child. I will boast in Him because He's the one that did it. And when we boast, that's talking about, you know, boasting in the Lord to other people. You're boasting out loud. And it says the humble will hear and be glad. You know, no one can approach the Lord outside of a humble heart. You know, if you got pride in your life, you're going to have a hard time getting into a relationship with God, because God resists the prideful. But He draws near to the humble. And the humble will hear. You know, sometimes you can say stuff. You ever like witness to somebody and they're really not hearing you? You're saying stuff. You're giving them biblical truth, but they're not spiritually discerned. And so they're really not hearing what you're saying. But the humble, the ones that are seeking, the ones that recognize their estate in life, where they're at spiritually, they're recognizing and they're hearing good news and they're glad. And they're glad. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. And then He says, proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt His name together. So where do we, it starts off as I will praise the Lord as an individual, but then the psalmist goes further. I'm going to talk to other people, and then we will lift Him up. We will praise Him together. The righteous praise the Lord. And that's the bottom line here. You know, before I knew the Lord, I never praised the Lord. I was not righteous in any sense of the word. I was doing my own thing. That doesn't mean I was necessarily totally evil and all that, but the bottom line was I was not spiritual. And so I didn't give God credit for anything. I didn't praise Him for anything. I kind of knew He was there. I believed there was a God, but I certainly didn't praise Him. But once I knew the Lord, and see, and that's it, the righteous praise the Lord. Well, who are the righteous? Well, that's everyone that's named the name of Christ. Because when you accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you are proclaimed righteous. God looks at you as a righteous person. You are righteous because you are covered in the blood of Jesus. And it's accounted to you for righteousness. And so even though we still have sin and we still do some things that aren't right, when God looks at His children, He sees righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so we would proclaim that, and we would exhort others to that. And see, Elkanah and Hannah and Penina, they would go every year to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. They had a relationship with God, and they would go every year to do that. And they would praise Him and pray to Him and worship Him and offer their offerings and their sacrifices to Him. That's what they would do. And then secondly, we see the righteous seek the Lord in verses 4 through 7. The righteous seek the Lord. Look at this, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues them. You know, the righteous seek the Lord. Now, remember I told you about Hannah and Penina, the two wives. Well, there's always competition. When you read in the Scriptures, you know, these men that had many wives, there was a lot of jealousy, competition. There was a lot of things going on. You know, just read the story of Jacob with his two wives and see what went on there. But in this case, we've got Hannah and Penina. And Penina taunted Hannah severely. I mean, she was always pointing out, you don't have any kids. I got all the kids. I mean, it was just one of those things. And you know what, though? Hannah sought after the Lord. One of those trips that they made to Shiloh to go worship the Lord, she went down and she poured her heart out to the Lord. She prayed to Him. She sought after Him because her faith was in the Lord. She was trusting Him for her future and for all that was about her. She trusted in Him. The righteous seek the Lord. We don't have any account of Penina really seeking God. What we do have an account of her is kind of oppressing or persecuting Hannah. And Hannah, though, sought the Lord. She could have given retribution. She could have fought back. But instead, she just sought the Lord. And then in verses 8 through 10, we see the righteous taste the Lord. The righteous taste the Lord. Look at this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. You who are His holy ones, fear Yahweh, for those who fear Him lack nothing. Young lions lack food and go hungry, but those who seek the Lord will not lack any good thing. The righteous taste the Lord. The Bible says, taste, see that the Lord is good. You know what's interesting? You know, our senses, of all the senses that the psalmist could have wrote, he chose taste. You know what's unique about taste? Everything else, you don't have to touch. I can see you. Am I making contact with you? No, not physically. But I can see you. I can hear you. You know, if you were to shout out the window, I could hear you. I don't have to be next to you. I don't have to touch you in order to hear you. Unfortunately, sometimes we can smell one another, right? Just depending on what's, you know, what we've been doing. If we've been out working in the yard all day, which I never do because I hate yard work, but I go out there and I'll sweat playing golf or something, okay? I'll do that, and I come back from that, and my wife says, you need to take a shower, okay? Or some of you ladies, you know, you put that perfume on or whatever. Man, we can smell that, right? I mean, why else do you put it on, right? You want someone to smell it. But I don't have to touch you, okay? And even to feel, and you say, maybe you have to touch to feel. Well, no, you don't. You know, if there's a fire going right there, I can feel the heat. And I don't have to touch the fire to feel the heat. But you know what? The only way I can taste something is I got to experience it. I've got to touch it. And God is inviting us to experience Him, and to take Him in. You know, some people experience Him. They'll come to church or maybe they'll pull into a place like this and hear something, or they'll see it on TV and they'll get a little taste of God. But sometimes that's all they get. They taste it, but then they go and do their own thing. But you know what? The Bible says, taste His goodness. Taste His goodness. See that He is good. And then it says in that same verse, happy is the man who takes refuge in Him. You know, it's not enough to taste, folks. We got to dive in. We dive into the Lord. And that's when you accept, you know, you taste Him. You see something's good. You see some power there. You see spiritual working. And you know what? He's inviting you to dive in, to take refuge in. Now, don't just taste and walk away. You know, I'm pretty picky eater. And I'll go to a restaurant or something, and maybe they got good food. But if I get the wrong thing, you know, if I get something I don't like, and I'll go, whoa, you know, this is terrible. And I won't go back. I won't go back. And sometimes people do that with the Lord. They think it tastes pretty good, but then they find out, well, wait a minute. God's expecting me to change. God's expecting me to line up with His Word or line up with the way the Spirit is drawing me. And some people say, you know what? I'm my own person. Yeah, I tasted it. It seemed pretty good. But you know what? I'd rather do my own thing. And then they just go. They just go. But He's saying, yeah, taste and see that He's good, and then take refuge in Him. Come on in. Come on inside. Jesus, you know, Jesus says, I'm in Him and you're in me. You know, we're in each other. We're part of Him. He's part of us. Take refuge. And you know what? Hannah was sad. She went to the temple. You know, all those things Peninnah was telling her was echoing in her ears. And the Bible tells us her countenance was sad. She was sad. And you know what? Hannah took in the Lord. She tasted of Him. She took refuge of Him. And she ate. And the Bible says when she got done praying, she ate and was no longer sad. She took it all in. I think she didn't just eat some food. I think she got restored spiritually as well. And she was no longer sad. Her countenance was lifted. You know what? Sometimes we get caught up in things going on. We get caught up in the stuff going on around us or to us. Things that we didn't count on happening. Things that we didn't plan on. And the bottom line is our countenance will fall. But the bottom line is, trust in the Lord. Take refuge in Him. Lift up your spirit. You know, allow Him to lift up your spirit. Start counting the promises. Start counting the blessings. And take Him in. Take refuge in Him in the midst of your circumstance. And get up and eat of the Lord. And don't be sad anymore. Don't be depressed anymore. Taste the Lord and go on in, because you know what? He is good. That's something we say every now and then. A lot of churches do. The Lord is good. You know, good is the Lord. Lord is good. Good Lord is good always. And always the Lord is good, right? We do these things. And sometimes I think we do it out of repetition and we don't really think what we're saying. But you know what? He is good all the time. And all the time the Lord is good. And we need to remember that. Because all the time means all the time. When the times are fun, when the times are not so fun. All the time, the Lord is good. The Lord is good all the time. You know, Hannah, she lived this. In verses 11 through 14, you know, the righteous praise the Lord. They seek Him. They taste of Him. And then once you've taken Him in, you got to listen to Him, folks. You got to listen to Him. The righteous listen to the Lord. Look at this in verses 11 through 14. He says, "Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man that delights in life, loving a long life and to enjoy what is good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it." You know, the righteous will listen to God. This guy says, "I'm going to teach you." You know, we got to learn. We got to learn what God thinks. And sometimes He gives it to us spiritually. But you know what? God has some expectations on us. He says, "You need to be in my word. You need to be learning what I think." You know, a lot of what God thinks, in fact, most of what God thinks is revealed to us in His Word. And when you get in His Word, you begin to understand, what does God think of marriage? What does God think of children? What does God think of sinners? All these different things. We learn what He thinks. And we need to listen. And when that listen, He says, "Come, children, listen to me." That word listen is not just hear. And many times people say something, I hear them, but I'm not listening. This word listen is talking about being on the edge of your seat, leaning forward. God is speaking. You're listening. And then you're going to listen with the intention that I'm going to carry it out. I'm going to do it. That's the kind of listening this is talking about. And you know what? The righteous listen to the Lord. He says, and what does He tell us? He gives us some very good advice here. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. In other words, be careful what you say and have upright speech. Have good speech. Turn away from evil, says. In other words, turn away from evil is evil itself, evil works, evil people. Now, we need to witness to them, but we're not part of them. Okay, and then he says what? Seek peace and pursue it. You know, a lot of times when you're witnessing, it's not so peaceful. Sometimes we have to pursue peace with some people. You know, we don't want to drive our audience away. We want to retain their ear. So if we can build a relationship with them, not become them, but build a relationship that one day they may hear. The righteous listen to the Lord and follow Him. And Hannah You know, all those times, I mentioned it earlier, all those times that Peninnah did all those things, said all those things, made fun of her, all those things. Hannah never said or did anything hateful to Peninnah. She pursued peace. She listened to God. She turned her troubles toward God, as we're going to see in a moment. You know, Bible tells us, Jesus said, pray for those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. That's what we're supposed to be about. We're to pursue peace. In 15 through 18, we praise, we seek, we taste, we listen, and now we speak to the Lord. Because the righteous are heard by the Lord. The righteous are heard by the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil, to erase all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and He saves those that are crushed in spirit. Saves those that are crushed in spirit. Look, the righteous are heard by the Lord. I love that. His ears are open. His eyes are on the righteous. He's watching us. You understand? If you're one of His children, He's watching you. His eyes are on you, and His ears are open to you. They're open to the cry for help. You know, it's just like a parent. You know, we over at the Rosa Sharon, we deal with these young moms. Some of them have had other kids, and some of them are pregnant, and we're dealing with them. But, you know, we're teaching them, and we teach them to listen for the cry. Okay? And those of you that have had children, you understand this. There's different cries, right? Sometimes they cry they're mad. Sometimes they cry they're hungry. Sometimes they cry they're hurting. You know, there's a different cry. And so we teach these parents, we say, look, you need to listen for the cry so that you understand what kind of response is necessary. You know, sometimes if they're just mad at you, the proper response is do nothing. Just let them deal with their anger. You let them cry a little bit. But the bottom line is, a parent never lets his young child out of his sight. You know, we tell them to be thinking moms. We tell them, listen, if they're crying, don't let them see you, but you get right where you can see them. And you can hear them. Because if they see you, then they won. So now you got to go in there, right? But you be aware of what they're doing and where they're going and what they're saying. And you take notice of that, and then you assess the need. And then as a good parent, you're going to try and meet that need. If they're hungry, you're going to feed them. If they're hurting, you're going to pick them up and comfort them. You know, the things that they need. And the Lord is just like that with us. Isn't that such a great promise? He will comfort us. You know, sometimes things happen to our kids. We can't fix it. You know, we'd like to, but sometimes we can't fix it. Now, God is God. He could fix everything. But, you know, a lot of times He chooses not to fix it. Because He's doing something in us. There's something going on. But He will comfort us. He will be there with us. You know, some of the things we pray to Him about is our own doing. And we get there from our own doing. And you know what He'll do? He'll let us go through the consequences, but He never lets us go it alone. He is there for us to help us, that we would be not brokenhearted, that we would not be crushed spiritually. He will pick us up, just like a parent. And Hannah went to the Lord, and she says, Lord, you know what I'm putting up with. I mean, she prayed fervently. She didn't go to her husband. She didn't go to that other woman. She didn't even go to the priest. She just went to the Lord of the universe and bared her soul to Him. Bared her soul to Him. Hannah was heard by God. He knew of her situation. And in fact, the Bible tells us He caused it. He caused it. You read it. It said she could not get pregnant because the Lord had closed her womb. He allowed Peninnah to have all these kids, but He did not allow Hannah. Because you know what? God had a plan for Hannah. He had a plan for her. And it was bigger than what her plan was. Just, I just want to have a son. That was the extent of her plan. But God had a bigger plan. The Lord brought her to the place where she would give everything to God. She would give it all, even the son that she so desperately wanted. Because those of you that know the story, what happened? The priest came and heard her, and he came over, and he said, he thought she was drunk because she was kind of speaking under her breath. And he goes, what are you doing drunk here in the house of God? She goes, I'm not drunk. My heart is just so broken. I am so hurting because I need a son and all that. I don't even think she told him. She just said, my heart's hurting. I'm depressed. And he said, I'm just praying that the Lord would be with you. And then later on in that chapter, the Bible tells us God heard Hannah and she became pregnant. She became pregnant. And you know what Hannah said was, Lord, if you'll give me a son, I will give him to you. I will consecrate him for your service only. She was willing just to have this son that she would give him right back to God. And you know what? As soon as he was weaned, she took him to Eli the priest and said, here he is. I give him to you. I give him to you. You see, the righteous are heard by the Lord. And in his time, he handles the situation. Our problem is we don't always like the way he handles it. We have our idea how it should be. That's where faith comes in, folks. We got to believe that God knows about the choices he's making for us. And that he's got it all in hand. And that there's a reason. There's a purpose. There's a plan. There's something behind it. There's a bigger picture. Hang on to that, folks. Sometimes that's all you got to hang on to, is the fact that it's a bigger picture that maybe you don't even see. Lastly, the righteous are delivered by the Lord. It says, many adversities, it's 19 through 22, the last four verses. Many adversities come to the one who is righteous. Just stop right there and ponder that for a second. We don't like this verse. But Lord, I'm doing what's right. I'm serving you. I'm praying to you. I'm in your word. I try to help other people. I try to be obedient. I'm always looking to serve you in any way I can. Many adversities come to the one who is righteous. You're going to have adversity in your life. Sometimes adversity comes in the form of health. Sometimes it's in the form of money. Sometimes it's in the form of relationships. Sometimes it's in the form of job. Sometimes it's in the form of family. All kinds of adversity. All kinds of things. But I like the last part of this. But the Lord delivers them from them all. You may say, well, wait a minute. I'm still dealing with this. I've dealt with this my whole life. Well, your life ain't over. Your life's not over. You know, you may not be delivered until you're with him, but you'll be delivered, folks. You need to understand this. The righteous are the ones that are going to be with him forever, and you will be delivered. He delivers them all. Everyone who names the name of Christ will be delivered from adversity in the end. But in this time, there's many troubles. There's many adversities. All kinds of things. Different ones for different people. But the Lord delivers them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them is broken. That's a little prophecy about Jesus Christ. None of his bones were broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. You know what we're beginning to see right now in our country is open persecution of the church. We see churches being singled out for doing this. We see pastors being arrested. This is the beginning. But take heart. Those who hate the righteous will be punished. That's in God's hands. That's not in our hands. We do what is right. We serve the Lord. And you trust God to take care of the balance. You know, I got to do what I got to do. God will do whatever He's going to do, you know, with the rest. I got to make sure I'm righteous. In other words, I'm doing what's right. I'm serving Him the way He's leading me. It pained me to hear the governor of New York say, God's not in any of this. If we get through this, it's only because of what we are doing. He says, anything that we're doing is just because of us. It's not about God. I find that interesting that New York is the hardest hit. But it pains me because you know what? There's a lot of people there dying that don't know the Lord. And that pains me. It's very sad. Because they really have no excuse. The Bible tells us that. They've had an opportunity. But the good news is the righteous are delivered by the Lord. Not only is the Lord aware of our situation, aware of our need, He is ready, willing, and able to deliver us from them all, according to His plan, according to His will. Okay, it's always according to Him. You got to remember that. But you know what's really cool in this story of Hannah? Hannah had that son, Samuel. And she raised him for a few months, weaned him, took him to Eli the priest and said, here he is, raise him up, teach him to serve the Lord. And of course, God had that big plan, right? Because Eli's family was corrupt. And God removed them from the priesthood and Samuel took Eli's place. Samuel became the priest to the living God. But you know what? The story still isn't over. You read on in there. Hannah had three more sons and two daughters. She ended up with six kids. Isn't that amazing? All that time, she'd been without children. But the Lord brought her along until she was willing to give up that which she could not keep in order to gain what she couldn't have gotten for herself. I love the verse, Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. According to Him. Okay, not according to my will, but according to Him. To Him be the glory. To Him be the glory. He's able to do above and beyond. You know, we need to get our head out of our own little world, our own little situation, and understand that there's more to it. There's a bigger picture that God is working on. And He's going to get the glory because it's Him that's working it out. So where are you at today? Are you taking refuge in the Lord? I hope you do because He is able to deliver us. He is able. And the Lord's deliverance is not limited to the physical. We get so bound up in the physical. You know, the things that are going on that we can see and touch and feel, our senses. But His refuge takes care of our emotional and spiritual needs as well. You know, sometimes the physical is just going down the drain. But in the meantime, you can be steadfast emotionally. You can be steadfast spiritually. Even while everything else is just seemingly destined for disaster, we can still praise the Lord. We can be glad in the Lord. We can worship the Lord. We can walk with the Lord. We can commune with the Lord. Those are emotional and spiritual things that are not bound by the physical. Do you have sickness or physical limitations? Take refuge in the Lord. Do you struggle with fear or doubt? Take refuge in the Lord. Do you wrestle with guilt or shame? Take refuge in the Lord. Do you fill in the blank. The answer is take refuge in the Lord. Remember the words of Isaiah that I read at the opening. Jesus is mighty to save. He's mighty to save. He's a great God. He's a loving God. He's a just God. But he's mighty to save. I don't know where you might be today. In your spiritual, in your emotional, even with your health, your physical situation. But do you understand the Lord knows? And he hears you. His eyes are on you. He wants to work in your life. But I have some questions for you today. Some things to ponder. How's your countenance? How's your countenance? You know, all this stuff that's been going on here. I mean, this really spoke to me because, like, my goodness, I'm so sick of all this stuff. I'm sick of every commercial that says stay safe, stay home, and all this stuff. Yeah, amen. You know, but you know what? I was getting mad all week. You know, my wife was, we were going somewhere, and she goes, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, "I'm just mad. I'm just mad." And you know what? Got to ask myself this question. How's my countenance? Am I not a child of God? Does he not have this in control? You know, lift up my countenance. I got plenty to praise God for. You know, I got a granddaughter getting married this Friday. I get to do the ceremony. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's still working. Doing stuff. You know? How's your countenance? Are you listening to God? I mean, listening, not just hearing. You know what hearing is? It's like when you read a verse, and the verse tells you something. You know, the verse says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech." That's verse 13. You read that, but if you just read it and go on to the next verse, all you did was hear. But how's your listening? How is your listening? When you read that, do you stop and go, "Wow, you know, a lot of the time my lips are kind of messed up. I say things I shouldn't say. And you know what, Lord? I'm hearing you. You're speaking to me today. I'm going to change. I need, Lord, help me, you know, because I'm used to just shooting off and saying what I want to say. And Lord, help me. You know, help me be aware of what I'm doing. You know, grow me." Because he says, "I will teach you the fear of the Lord." You know, you don't just get saved and then go, bam, all of a sudden I speak like the psalmist or something. You know? No, it's a learning process. And you know what? I have found, I say this humbly, God has brought me a long way in my walk with him. But man, the further I get down the road, the more I realize how far I got to go. He just keeps bringing stuff up because there's so much to deal with me. And I realize that. But, you know, how's your countenance? Are you listening? Are you trusting him? Are you taking refuge in him or something else? And so my prayer, very short prayer, Lord, help us all to be more like Hannah. just trust you with the whole package, my whole life, everything about it. My health, my wealth, my family, my decisions, my job, my whatever it might be. Just let me just trust you, God, because you got this. Let me just live your word the best I can. Lord, keep giving me light so I can understand it better, and give me strength to serve you in a way that pleases you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you and we ask you, Lord, be merciful. Be gracious, Lord. We've trusted you for our eternity. Help us, Lord, to trust you for the right now, the here and now, the things that are going on now. Lord God, give us a heart that seeks to hear you and obey you. Give us a heart that seeks to take refuge in you, Lord. Give us a heart that is open to you, to your will, your way, your word. And Lord God, we'll praise you. We'll praise you in all things, all the time, Lord. We'll praise you. We'll boast in you. For you are God. If there's anybody out there that you have never experienced a relationship like that, this is your opportunity. It is so simple. The plan of salvation doesn't require tremendous Bible knowledge, or it's just a simple truth. The truth is, you're a sinner. You just have to admit it. That takes humility. You just admit you're a sinner. And you realize that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sin. He paid the price. The wages of sin is death. That's something we earn. And Jesus died. He paid the price. He paid the price of death for you and me. And God raised him on the third day in victory over sin and death. And he sits at the right hand of the Father to this day, making intercession for all of his children, all of us. And if you, on that basis, on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross, if you will ask God to forgive you, he will. It is really that simple. You ask him, and God, that's a prayer God wants to answer. You know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, sometimes I pray and it doesn't happen. Well, let me tell you something. When you pray that prayer, it happens. Because that's something that God wants. He says, today is the day of salvation. Today's the day. And there may be someone out there watching online. There may be someone in this parking lot. You are a prayer away. If you truly believe it. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's your faith. You place your faith in God and in what Jesus did. And God in his grace saves you. That's what happens. And then it opens a whole new life. I hope and pray that you will place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, I hope and pray that we'll take stock of what we do and what we're thinking and what God would have us do. And that we would please him in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts, in our relationships, and in all that is us, that he would be pleased. Father God, I thank you for these that came out today here in the parking lot. I thank you for those that provided the music. I thank you for those that work to set these things up, that we can do this. I praise you and thank you for the internet and those things that are being used to reach people literally all over the world. Thank you and praise you, God. I pray, Lord, that all of us would listen and obey and take refuge in you. That it would go well with us. That you would be glorified. That we would grow in our walk with you. And that we would become better witnesses. That your kingdom would be impacted in a great way. And Lord, I ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you. Take refuge in the Lord. Amen.